As you know, that was the Holy Spirit, and it's for me. The great young man. Again, thank you all so much for coming. And if I give thanks to God for anything in terms of my pewter jubilee, I give thanks for the wonderful graces that God has given us over the years in terms of priestly vocations. That has been my top priority from the beginning. And I was so grateful for Mary Euler's work in that small addendum to the Catholic Herald, especially wherein she pictured the almost 40 men that I've been privileged to ordain since I'm here. That picture stirs me at the deepest level, and I'm grateful to God every day for so many things. His goodness to me is like a thunderous waterfall falling down on me every day, and all I have to do is stand there and catch some of the water. So that's pretty easy, as long as you don't mind getting wet. But I'm grateful, really, for so many things, above all for that. I'm grateful for you, I'm grateful for the pro-life movement in the Diocese of Madison. I'm so grateful to the Knights and Ladies of the Holy Sepulchre for all that they do, not just for being here today. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you especially for what you do to help the Church and the Holy Land. And of course, I'm deeply grateful to the Knights of Columbus and all that they do, represented today by Ron Fox. Thank you, Ron, for coming. And thank the Knights for me, as they know my gratitude, for the many wonderful things that they do. Thanks to these great seminarians who are here to warm my heart. They represent a mighty number. Thanks to Father Garrett and Father Chad who are here, nicely gussied up. Thank you, Father Rick, especially for not only your hospitality here, but thank you for interrupting your vacation to be with me at this moment. I'm very grateful for that, but I don't want to hold you up as you return to your vacation, because that vacation is certainly well deserved. Thanks so much to the servers who always do a wonderful job here today. I hope that eventually most of you will be sitting there like the seminarians, sooner or later. Thanks to Aristotle, and thanks so much to those who sing. How beautiful our worship is today. When I think of pro-life, of course I think of babies in the womb. And we can't be too concerned about that. We seem to be making some progress, but that progress can always turn out to be fleeting unless we really keep our noses to the grindstone and don't back away. Thank you to all who are here, who do so much in the cause pro-life. I'm especially happy to see Steve Carlin, who is becoming a worldwide ambassador for life, and I'm so proud of him and his ministry, and I'm very grateful for the many sacrifices that he and his family make. I am thrilled to see some Sisters of Mary Morningstar here who make us all feel holier and remind us that we don't deserve to feel as holy as we do. But they offer a wonderful witness in the diocese of contemplative prayer and also youthful spiritual energy. And I thank the Sisters so much for that. When my thoughts turn to pro-life, I suppose most of all, I'm grateful to the Lord for the gift of the life of Christ in the diocese, the seminarians and the priests especially. Every priest is another Christ. And when we support and we love our priests, we support and love Christ. And we should never, ever forget that. Especially in times of darkness. And this is my last point for today. Fittingly, in a way, right before coming here, I received a letter from someone in Wanakee. Wanakee, not the East Coast, Wanakee. And she was telling me about her grandson, young man, and what a wonderful priest he might make. But then she said, I would strongly discourage him from going to the seminary, because I don't know what's going on there. Making reference, of course, to the former Cardinal McCarrick and his ugly misdeeds. Now, we know from Jesus that we don't have the luxury of hating anybody. So we pray for the former Cardinal McCarrick. But we also condemn what he did in the strongest terms. In the strongest terms. And we condemn the fact that not a few bishops knew what he was up to. And I mean, they knew it. They didn't hear a rumor. They knew it. We can never, I mean, many bishops heard it. But when you hear something as a rumor, you don't go public and risk ruining somebody's reputation on the basis of a rumor. I've had that done to me many times in almost 20 years as a bishop. People take a rumor and they have a field day with it. And it's a serious sin to do that, either of detraction or calumny. We know that hearsay evidence is not acceptable as evidence. But there were not a few bishops who knew this as a fact, and we have a letter today, a statement from Cardinal DiNardo, the president of our conference, saying that the truth will come out about all of that. And I can only hope and pray that that happens. And those bishops who enabled Cardinal McGarrick certainly need to be accountable to the Holy Father, not to forget Almighty God for what they did. But this is no time for us to hate. And it certainly is not a time to tell our grandchildren, don't dare go to the seminary. Can I say that at no seminary is a seminarian being disgustingly propositioned by a predator? Can I swear to that? No. But I know where I send people. And I know that for a variety of reasons, the people that I send are safe. And wouldn't it be a terrible thing for Catholic people to tell their grandchildren, their children, don't go to the seminary? The seminaries are not loaded with predators. Can I swear that there's not a one? I couldn't do that. That's like swearing that there's no original sin in the world. And I can't swear to that because it's false. So this is plain English, dear friends. And you are friends. This is not time for hate. But it is a time for justice. And it is a time for punishment of those who deserve to be punished. And I hope and pray that what Cardinal DiNardo says is true, that we will shine light on those who need to be punished, and that that will happen according to those who have the authority punish them. Thank God, in the Diocese of Madison, every single bishop has never covered up any instance of sexual misconduct by a priest. Bishop O'Connor was military. He had no time for Bishop O'Donnell was a canon lawyer. He had no time for it. He followed canon law. Bishop Bullock followed canon law. And I do thank God. We have no history in this diocese of concealment. So this is the last place where people ought to say, oh, let's discourage our young men from going to the seminary. We gotta build up what we got. And discouraging the young men from going to the seminary is not the way to do it. So we're gonna be open, we're gonna be honest. People can ask me questions if they want. I'll answer them to the best of my ability. But as we give thanks for the direction in which the Lord has led this diocese for 15 years, using me in many instances, unworthy though I am, as we give thanks, we're hopeful. We're not going to get down on ourselves. We're not going to discourage priestly vocations. We're not going to say they're all that way. We're going to appreciate good priests as the other Christs that they are. And I say that to this kind of a group because you're the ones that can take the want you to know that I very much count on you to do so. In the days ahead, please pray for me. Maybe I've been 19 years a bishop, but maybe in 5 more years, I will celebrate my aluminum anniversary here in the Diocese of Madison. And as those less than precious metals pile up, I will continue to be filled with joy every day, because my joy comes from the Lord and not from what some bishop or cardinal does. But we've got to straighten out a mess, and we will. And the real solution are the young priests, like over there. I count Father Heilman and Monsignor Bartella too as young priests. I can't count myself as a young bishop anymore. I'm battle-worn, but still full of joy and energy that comes from the Lord. And I will do my very best over the remaining years. I don't look forward to retirement. Don't look forward to it. I don't have a beautiful place in Florida that I've been working on for years. And I just can't wait to get there when I retire. There's no such thing. I don't look forward to it. But it's another stage in life when it comes. It's God's will when it comes. If you're curious, that would be the very beginning of 2022. So I'm not finished yet by a long shot. 2022. And when it comes, if it's possible to use delay tactics to get the resignation accepted, I will use delay tactics better than the Democrats do in Congress. So there's my pledge, there's my promise, and there's my joy on this great pewter jubilee. God love you all.